Hi, I'm Suzy Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that every month we have our good friend Dan Bennett on the show for what we call a faith perspective from the Hill. For the time being, Dan serves as Director for Government Affairs for the ACLJ, but if you've been listening the last few months, God is moving Dan out. He and Brooke, his wife, to venture into a ministry that is so much bigger than they are. If we have time, we'll retouch on that so you can hear a little bit about Dan's plans. So even our conversations in the months ahead may shift and change a little bit, but there's just nobody we trust more than Dan to get a biblical, humble view of what's going on in this vitriolic society. What must we know about what's going on? What must we do as God's people? So we are going to touch on the upcoming elections, what might happen to Congress, and what even the landscape is like after Election Day, and how can we as God's people shine brightly? And as Stan and I were talking before, just before the show, and I've said this on the show so many times, that the pendulum seems to have swung one of two extreme ways with people's responses to the times. Either they're railing at the darkness, shaking their fists, and this includes Christians, but as they do that, they're getting angrier by the day, or they're entertaining themselves to death, or numbing out on something because they don't want to face where we find ourselves now. But what's the appropriate response? Well, one of the things he and I are going to talk about is how do we equip ourselves for the times so at the end of the day, we have hope, we have faith, we have love, we have courage, we have a joyful expectancy that God is on the throne and is who He says He is. There's a way to live that way, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Can somebody give me an amen? I already got it asking for an amen. We haven't even started yet. Also, we're going to touch on a newsletter that Than has just launched and is just launching now to speak to that people group that don't want to rail against the darkness, don't want to put their head in the sand, but really want to have kind of a discernment about what is going on today. And we'll give you that web address in just a little bit. Quick announcement, if you've not downloaded our free app, hope you'll do that, especially if you're traveling, because you can live stream our shows from anywhere. Go to the app store, just search Faith Radio Network, and you'll find it there. All right, let me tell you, thank you, Janet, for that amen. I can always count on you. Let me tell you about Dan, and we'll get him on the show. Dan Bennett is Director of Government Affairs for the American Center for Law and Justice, known as ACLJ. He's the author of In Search of the King and My Fame, His Fame. He and his wife, Brooke, live in Southern Maryland with their three children and their farm animals. And I want to tell you, we've got a few Than Bennett book bundles to give away today. So some of you who win will get both of Than's books. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Than, my friend, welcome back to the show.
Susie, my friend, it's always so good to be with you. And I'll give you an amen, because that is the cry of my heart, that all of us as Jesus followers would be aware of the times and also just discerning how to engage them. So amen and amen from this end.
Amen. Thank you so much. And thank you for stepping in when I'm traveling for speaking events. You've been such a gift to our listeners to step in and host. So I want to thank you for that as well.
I love to do it. I'd rather be on with you, Susie, but if I can't be on with you, I'd love to fill in for you when you're out.
That's awesome. Well, you know this, you've been on plenty of times. So we start by asking, what is the Lord speaking to you about these days?
Yeah, Susie, you kind of mentioned this, that our family's been going through a significant transition in the last few months. And as we've been following God's prompting, He's just repeatedly drawn me back to a couple passages of Scripture. He's drawn me back to the letters from Paul to Timothy, and then also to Peter's letters. And I know I've shared on this broadcast from 1 Peter 5, actually on a number of things, times. I think we've talked about being alert and of sober mind. I know we've talked about resisting the enemy, and we've talked about how Jesus will restore us after we've suffered for a while. And all of those things, Susie, they're packed together in just a few verses. But today I wanted to mix in one more thing from that short passage. It's 1 Peter 5:7, and God's just been using it to minister to me over these last few weeks. And I think before I read it, I should probably premise that this has been a very sweet season for our family. It really has.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, a little bit surprising, honestly, Susie, because we just sensed his nearness. We've sensed his love. We've sensed him guiding us, and we wouldn't trade that for anything. But I think the reason I say it's a little surprising is because the change definitely doesn't come without stressors, right? We know, mm-hmm. we know that God is our provider. But we still feel that weight of what that provision will look like and how it will play out. So even in a time of great blessing and sensing his presence, it's been very easy for me, Susie, to slip into worry and anxiety and self-reliance. And so this passage is what has kept it sort of in that sweet spot for me. I come back to this, and 1 Peter 5:7, it just gives this practical, very powerful promise that I've been resting in. It says this, it says, cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Mm-hmm. And Susie, it doesn't say because you're going to have all the answers tomorrow. It says that it's because he is more than enough. And the fact that he cares for me is more than enough for me. And so I don't have to be anxious. We just have to humble ourselves. We have to seek to hear his words. And then we have to do our very best to walk in obedience. And so when I read that, it just fills the stores of courage back up again. I'll read it one more time. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Oh, so, so good. And my next question was, what are you thankful for these days? But I think you partially answered. I mean, there's nothing like God's presence, nothing like a sense of his nearness, especially when you're getting ready to transition. I mean, that, if that's not a confirmation, then that even though you're taking a risk in these uncertain times, that you're on the right track. And I think anybody that we read about in scripture, it was never a convenient time to step out into the unknown, ever. But it was, the Lord was with them, and they were the history changers and history makers. So, but anything else come into your mind that you're just so thankful for these days?
Well, I think it's part and parcel of why we have felt that peace, Susie, because I've just, I've been overwhelmed with gratitude for how aware I have been of how fervently and uniquely God has been seeking me out. He's been very patient in that. And yes, he's requesting my obedience. He's requesting the heeding of his voice. But I'm grateful that in the midst of all of that, Susie, I know that he desires my relationship, because there's just no other explanation for why he would ask me to take this step, why he would patiently pursue me until I've been willing to follow. And, I think there's something there that really all of us should just reflect on here. The God of the universe, Susie, the God who could do it alone, could do it all by himself. He could ensure that his perfect plan isn't messed up by all of us, because we're frail, imperfect humans, right? That God chose to use us, to dwell in us, and to draw us into his story, and actually to make his story encompass us. And so I'm overwhelmed by it every time I think about it, but I'm also so thankful for it, because it gives every day. It gives all of life, Susie, but it also gives every day a purpose that transcends the circumstances that I see around me. Because, a lot of times those circumstances are tough. They're difficult these days. But when I think about the fact that a God that big loves me enough and desires relationship with me enough to pursue me with the patience that he has, overwhelmed with gratitude.
That is so beautiful, Sam. Thank you for that. Well, as you're working in the epicenter of politics, I know we're going to talk about the election. Is that what seems to be the forefront of conversations, or is there buzz around other things as well? What are you seeing? What are you sensing?
Yeah, I mean, when you get this close to an election, Susie, that just inevitably is front and center on everyone's mind. I mean, yes, there are trickle-down issues, right? Like, depending on what happens in the election, you might have certain pieces of legislation that will have a greater or a lesser chance of moving forward. But when you're 2.5 weeks away from the midterm, what you get here in D.C. is a Capitol Hill that is basically empty of federal elected officials, right? At least on the legislative side of things. So if I were to go across the street here to the United States Senate or the United States House, there wouldn't be any members there, because they're all back campaigning, or for those senators who are out of cycle, or maybe a House member that doesn't have a reelection, they're maybe traveling to campaign for other colleagues. And so the action is not happening here, Susie, But I think I would maybe frame it this way. I think all of those members are thinking about two main things. Number one, they're thinking about what might happen in the time between the election and when the new Congress sits. We call it the lame duck Congress, where, you know, the outgoing Congress is still in charge. They can still pass bills, but a new Congress is about to sit. So, you know, I think there's discussion about what might happen in that period of time. And then number two, you know, what's the new Congress going to look like? Right now we have unified government where Democrats control the White House and both chambers of Congress. And I think officials on both sides of the aisle are trying to think about whether or not there's going to be divided government, who's going to be in control of which chamber, and how does that impact pieces of legislation that are pending. So I think those are the two buckets that are probably on the forefront of their minds right now.
How do you sense things are going to play out? I mean, if you don't want to guess, you don't have to, but just based on what you know, what you're hearing, what is your sense that realistically might happen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I have to make a prediction to tell you what the most likely outcome is. I mean, when you go into any midterm election, the party that is out of power, and especially the party that is opposite of control of the White House, typically has a good result in a midterm election. So with President Joe Biden in the White House, Republicans would have an advantage in the elections for both the House and the Senate. They would have an even greater historical advantage, Susie, given that they don't control either chamber right now. So if you just look at the math, Republicans have 212 seats in the U.S. House right now. They would have to get to 218 to take control of that chamber. And I think most people following it closely say there's a significantly better chance than not that they are able to achieve that and take control of the House. The Senate's a lot closer. It's 50-50 right now. And there's only a handful of competitive seats. I think most people looking closely at it right now think that it's very close to 50-50. But of course, if it stays exactly tied, then the vice president casts the tie-breaking vote. So that would leave control of the Senate chamber with the Democrats. But I would just tell you this. I think no matter what happens, all that I just laid out, we're probably going to have divided government of some form, because even if only the House flips control, you will have Republicans controlling one chamber while the Democrats at least control the White House. And Susie, I won't go farther down this rabbit trail, but it's a little bit interesting. If you look at polls, those are the periods actually where the greatest number of the American people say they are actually comfortable with government when it's divided. So that's pretty interesting.
Really interesting. We're going to pause here when we come back. I'll have you say a little bit more about that. And just no matter how things play out, just as Christians, to think proactively for what to do after the elections. How can we behave in a way that reflects God's heart, no matter what happens? So we'll talk a little bit about that. Then in a little bit here, we're going to talk about just using an acronym to walk through how to truly equip ourselves to navigate the time so we can keep a heart full of faith, hope, and love, expectancy, where we keep the main things the main things. We'll just have a really great discussion back and forth about that. I want to remind you, we've got a Than Bennett bundle. How about that? A few bundles of his two books to give away. If you'd like, you can text the word book to get in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. I'm seeking to reconnect the eternal with the everyday. I do that in part through conversations about today's relevant issues, hopefully helping to equip you to bring Christ back into every conversation in your life. You can subscribe to my daily podcast at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ain't no doubt about you. Everywhere that I go, you keep showing up.
Love that song. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our good friend Than Bennett. We have him on once a month to get kind of a faith perspective from the Hill. And just a little bit, we're going to engage in a little bit different kind of conversation with hopes to encourage you to really equip yourself to navigate the times. Because as we said at the beginning of the show, it's really very clear that there seems to be two extreme responses to the times in which we find ourselves. Some are just railing at the darkness, getting angrier and angrier. And others are just sort of denying that it exists and numbing out in whatever way that that they can, but really not in tune with what's happening. But there is a divine way to discern the times, to know what to do, but keep a heart full of hope and a winsome joy so that people can ask about the hope that's within you. But before we get there, we were talking about how the election, how it may play out. And first of all, how do you encourage Christians to be praying between now and then?
Well, Susie, I think the answer stems from the premise that you just gave. I find the same thing when I talk to Jesus followers really all over the country. They're I usually find them on one end of two extremes. Either one, they're really consumed and overwhelmed and just see the direction of the country and are concerned to the point where it really does maybe detract from an eternal focus. Or then on the other end of the spectrum, they're just so fed up with Washington, D.C. that they've kind of thrown their hands up and checked out and walked away. And look, I get both of those two responses, Susie, because I also see a direction of our country that's very problematic, and I desperately want to do something to impact that. But then I also see the way Washington is acting, and I don't want anything to do with it sometimes. But Susie, this is how I would answer your question, both for how Jesus followers should be praying about the midterm elections, but then I think just as importantly, how we should be walking out our representation of Christ during that time. We are ambassadors on the earth. That's the entire reason that we're here. We are here to amplify the glory of God, and we are here to reflect His message and His gospel in our times on earth. So if we're going to do that, Susie, we can't be unaware of what's happening around us. When wrong is called right, and when down is called up, we have to be aware of that distortion around us, and we have to be willing to step into the mess and to engage it. And look, it's not a perfect process, but I would also encourage, as you're praying, as you're thinking about your role for how to engage both the election and, by the way, in between elections as well. That's just as important. I would ask you to realize that we still live in a country that has a historic amount of opportunity for individual free citizens to engage it. That is an abnormality across the trace of human history. And so I think if we're going to be ambassadors of Christ in a space that has afforded us that kind of historic freedom, I don't think we have the luxury of looking around and saying, this thing is too far gone. I'm not going to engage it. I think we've got to find ways to engage it, to do it in love and sacrifice. But Susie, I don't think walking away is an option that is consistent with the mandate that we have through Scripture.
I just love what you said. We, as dire as things look and are, we have, as you said, so much freedom to engage in a significant way. I know I've told this story a couple times on the show, but it just bears repeating. And again, I don't remember which of my guests I talked to about it, but one who does global missions and talked about a place in Africa that was just suffering massive persecution. But then the government got distracted on some other issue, and I don't even remember what it was, but the Christians all of a sudden realized that the heavy hand had lifted from them, and they were not under the persecution that they were used to living with. And they didn't just check out and say, hey, this is a time of ease. What they did was like, we don't know how long this is going to last. We're going to make hay while we can. And they upgraded their evangelistic efforts and won a harvest of souls. And I thought, if they're going to do that, if they're going to be so in tune with the times, how about us? We still have so much freedom and so much opportunity to reach the lost. And so you're so right. And as if we could, the pure in heart see God. And if our hearts are clouded with hatred and bitterness, we're not going to discern the times. We're not going to know what to do. Because, you know, if you look in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, it's like you could throw your body into the flames. You could give away everything you own. But if you don't have love in your heart, you're just adding to the noise. So it really comes back to that. Pure in heart see God. Those who love the Lord and love others as they love themselves. I mean, that's got to be the core foundation, doesn't it?
Yeah, amen and amen. And I would maybe add one thing to that. You know, I think when you have an opportunity to impact a structure of government as powerful as the United States of America structure is, Susie, I think you have to take advantage of that, and you have to engage it. Try to get sound policy out of Washington, D.C. Try to get the appropriate power restored to the states and to the people. Because I've said it on this broadcast many times before, but the decisions that come out of this town have the power of life and death around the world. So we have to engage that lever of power. But I would say at the same time, Susie, that's actually not the most powerful engagement that a follower of Christ has. A follower of Christ has the ability to lead through service in their communities. And this is actually one of the reasons that one of the main focuses that Brooke and I are going to have in the years ahead is trying to put foster children into adoptive families. Because, Susie, that's approaching the same cultural issue and challenge from the other end of the spectrum and trying to solve a problem actually before it comes to Washington, asking for Washington's solution. And I'll zoom out for just a real quick second here. A dream of the day, Susie, where the world, even if they don't agree with us and they have not yet had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, when they confront a cultural problem that is overwhelming to them, what if their first thought was, well, let's go ask the Christians, because those Jesus followers, those are the ones who have been willing to find a solution to other problems in the past. Let's go see what they have to say about this. Susie, I think if we lead from service, that's a real possibility. I think we can keep problems from ever getting to Washington if we can prove ourselves to be actual servants who lead with love.
You know, amen. I it was a couple times ago when I had Dr. Tony Evans on, he'd said, if Christians would engage in serving their communities, they will have a voice in the public square. But if they do not, they will not. And I just think that is a great word for our day. And it will look different on each one of us. But that, what a powerful way to start. Okay, what about just a post-election? You know, in Proverbs, it talks about gloating is never godly. And I mean, I'm not predicting anything, but I'm just saying as believers, how we steward our hearts now will really determine how we even react and respond then. So just say a word of encouragement and maybe a charge of caution for how to navigate these coming weeks.
Yeah, that's a really good question, Susie. And I've actually penned some thoughts on this before prior elections. I typically have a habit of putting some of those thoughts out before we know the results so that people might have an opportunity to commit to trying to implement the principles no matter what side of the election they're on. But to boil it down to just a couple of encouragements, you know, I think if you're on the winning side of an election, you do have an obligation to reach out to those who have been defeated and to try to work alongside them for the betterment of all involved, right? We can't be a nation where only half of the population is represented by the winners of an election. So if you're on the winning side of an election, I think outreach is your responsibility to try to bring people who don't naturally agree with you into a conversation about the way forward. And then if you're on the losing side of an election, Susie, and I know, you know, we've had contested elections recently, and that's part of the process, and there's proper adjudication of that, proper challenges. But once the election is final and you're on the losing side of it, you have an obligation to constructively engage in the government of the people. That, you know, there is no magical potion, Susie, that says the way we do government in America will just magically continue forever. I do think we've had the hand of God's favor on us, but our way of government depends on the consent of the governed. And if both the winning side and the losing side don't play a role in consenting to whatever new government has been elected, Susie, there will come a time where there's not an elected government in this country, and that would be to the detriment of all of us. So consider in advance, whether you win or lose, what's your role going forward?
That's so good. Okay, when we come back, we're going to walk our way through the battle acronym, and because life's a battle, so how are we going to navigate? There are ways to win skillfully and to stand when it's all said and done, and ways to get battered by the storm. So we're going to talk about how can we thoughtfully navigate the time so we can come out at the end of the day with hope in our hearts. Talking to Than Bennett, more with him in just a moment.
Help me live with my eyes wide open, 'cause I don't wanna miss what you have for me.
Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to my good friend Than Bennett. We have him on the show every month to get kind of a faith perspective from the Hill. What's going on in politics and why does that matter for us as believers? But now we're going to switch gears. And actually, this isn't a pivot exactly, but just a different kind of conversation. Well, because the reality is we are in a battle. And we were talking throughout the show that the two extreme responses that we're seeing that are so prevalent really around the country, even in believers, are one extreme is shaking the fist at the darkness, getting so consumed by the bad news that hearts are getting bitter. A root of bitterness has sprung up in the hearts of many, and that's just wrong. But others are just so overwhelmed by it that they've checked out completely and are just numbing out. Now, I think there's a way to take your news in little grace pieces, you know, so that you can metabolize it in a way and still keep a faith perspective. I think you should dwell in the land, feed on God's faithfulness, enjoy your family, and really be grateful for those little graces for sure. But when you look at the reality of this is a battle, these are the times we're in. I mean, there are so many prophetic kind of signs pointing to the times as they're speeding up that we do need to be aware. And then I was thinking about the battle between Saul and David. In Scripture, it says Saul grew weaker while David grew stronger. They were in the same battle, but one grew weaker while the other grew stronger. There is a way to navigate these battles well. So using that as an acronym, we're going to talk about B is to just know what you believe. And we lose our footing when the waves crash and the winds blow. If we really aren't clear on, I know whom I've believed. I know God. I trust him. I know his word. And a recent stat reported that over 90% of professing Christians don't read their Bibles at all on any regular basis. And so one of the things is if we could make time every day, even if it's a few minutes, to be in the Word with God so that we start to remember what truth is, I think that is such a great place to start because we are living in a day of deception and so many departures from what's actually true. How will we discern it if we don't? If we're not in the Word?
Well, first of all, Susie, I know this great author who wrote a book called Strong in Battle, so I think maybe you should have her on to talk about this acronym. But this is the foundation, right? You have to know what you believe if you want to be effective in the culture. I would say you have to know who you are, and you have to know whose you are. You've got to know the capital truth, right? With a capital T, the absolute truth, the stuff that is unshakable, the solid rock that does not move. If you are going to be able to discern what is truth, lowercase t, right? When you're talking about facts in a criminal case or the best way to write legislation or the best candidate to vote for, I think there can be right and wrong answers, but it's on a lesser scale than if you're talking about the infallible word of God. So you have to know whose you are, you have to know what the truth says, and you have to let that be the foundation by which you're going to look at everything else. That's got to be the lens you work through, Susie. If you don't start there, you're never going to end up at the right place.
Oh, so good. And the Scripture, it's the only book that's living, breathing, and active. And it's the book that changes us from the inside out. So the more we read God's Word with a heart to know God's voice, I mean, that's really what starts to change everything. And then you can discern the counterfeit. When you know the real deal, you'll discern the departures. But we are living in an age of deception. If we're not in the Word, we're going to pick and choose based on preferences. That's just so important that we know God's Word. Second one, now, this one I'm going to set up a little bit. It's acclimate. And when I did the live stream on this battle acronym, I talked about how you see these movies all the time where this group are on a flight and they're going off to an exotic resort, but then the plane goes down and then you got some diva with her pink purse and she's in her high heels in the snow in the mountains going, but I want to be at the resort. But then you've got others going, well, we're not at the resort, so we're going to acclimate. This is where we are. And you see the leaders emerge going, okay, I'm not where I want to be, but this is where I am. So they acclimate going, okay, what are our assets? What do we have? And then they activate. And that was kind of my advice is to acclimate. Maybe you're not where you want to be, but this is where we are. So acclimate and then activate. But one thing I didn't talk about on the live stream that I wanted to talk about you, so I want you to address both these points, the idea of acclimating, whether you're standing where you want to or not, but the downside, the wrong kind of acclimating, because there's an acclimating like the frog in boiling water, where that analogy, when you just slowly turn up the heat and he lies there till he dies, we can acclimate to culture to the point where we're no longer alarmed by the moral depravity around us. We can acclimate to the culture where we're no longer discerning of the times. And so, we even can acclimate to the culture where we can adopt the lethargy, you know, of just not in, engaging post-COVID. Well, it's just easier not to get together. So there's a wrong kind of acclimation and there's a right kind of acclimation. Acclimating going, this is where I am. Now, how do I activate my faith? So speak to just whatever comes to your mind in that.
Well, I think it really comes back to the conversation we had a minute ago of trying very carefully to avoid the extremes of being consumed by what's happening around you and recognizing that you belong in a world that transcends this one. And then the other end of the spectrum, checking out completely. But maybe just two thoughts, one to each point. On the first point, Susie, look, we live in a tangible world. We might belong to heaven, but we've been sent here for a reason. And there are very real human constraints that we have to operate in. I want to be effective in that world, Susie. And in order to be effective in that world, I have to understand my audience and I have to understand the realities of communicating with that audience who many, many times is going to start from a position of not agreeing with me. So when you say acclimate, that's what I think about. If I have a message that I want them to receive, I want to present it in a way that doesn't immediately turn them off to me. I want to present it in a way where they actually take it in and consider the merits of the points. And then on the second point you made, Susie, the story that it brings to my mind from Scripture, I've probably talked about it on here before because I wrote about it in one of my books, but it's the story in Genesis 18 when Abraham is pleading with God to save Sodom. Right? Sodom deserved to be destroyed. Their actions were worthy of judgment, and a righteous God was going to destroy them. But Abraham wanted to engage in a way that actually still stood on truth, but pled for God's mercy. And so there's this back and forth where six different times Abraham goes back to God and says, if I find 50 people, will you save Sodom? And God says, yes. And Abraham says, what about 45? And God says, yes. And six times he goes back and lowers the number. And what I always find fascinating about the story is he gets down to the number of 10. If I find 10 righteous people in Sodom, will you save it? And God says, yes. So Abraham has accomplished a great thing in getting God's mercy. But what does he do then, Susie? He walks away. And I think that God's mercy extends to a point where we are willing to engage for it, to ask for it. And I want to be the person who is continually asking for God's mercy despite the shortcomings of this nation. So I want to acclimate to the extent that my message, God's message through me can be received. But then, Susie, I also want to be the conduit. I want to be the one that goes to God and says, I know we're worthy of destruction, but would you find it in your mercy to grant us more time and to grant us more opportunity to draw others to your side? And, you know, Susie, I think if you read Genesis 18, I think a faithful people asking for that, I think God's going to grant it.
Wow. In your first book or your second book, My Fame, His Fame, just making that appeal, do something in our day. So as we're looking at this battle acronym, B is, you know, and no matter how much you're in the Word right now, friend, listening, I think it's just a day for the Word to get into us. So what if we all just determined, you know, whatever time you spend, up that a little bit, or maybe a lot bit, but to say there's just can't be a greater priority right now than getting God's Word in me. And then A, acclimate. You know, I'm thinking about, Kev and I were talking about this morning, about, you know, with the supply chain issues, and he works in commercial construction managing things, and so he's dealing constantly with supply chain and, you know, and even different businesses, you know, changing their hours because they can't get workers, people aren't coming back to work. And then I've heard from really solid Christians who admitted, you know, they just said, you know, after with COVID shutting everything down and things aren't really crisis anymore, we've just found it easier not to get around the table with fellow believers. And they've said that to their own, like, I feel convicted. I didn't even realize I was taking an easier route. And so I think that is a wake-up call for all of us that, you know, that shutdown really did something in us. And if you find it in your soul or heart where you've maybe not engaged in some things that God is saying, that's actually why I have you here. The challenge is there then. Engage and acclimate and activate. And I pray you'll take that and prayerfully consider it. Okay, T is allow your trials to train you. And I'm just you know, thinking about we often feel like the enemy has this endless access to us, but God tempers the storm so he can deliver us, you know, not to dismiss us. And so say a word, if you would, just about the power of when we leverage our trials in a certain way, we can actually come through them stronger.
You know, none of us like trials, do we, Susie? But the thing that comes to mind when you say that is, I think if we think about it through the lens of it, it enables us to associate with Christ. He took the ultimate punishment for us. And if we walk through trials, we can have a little bit more identification of the sacrifice that he made for us. But then secondarily, it also allows us to associate with others around us, people that have gone through similar trials. And, you know, one of the things that maybe I encourage your listeners to do is one of the times I was filling in for you, I had a conversation with Jesse Weiss from Prison Fellowship. And, you know, he spent 7.5 years in prison as a result of some bad choices he made. Ultimate, you know, huge trial that many of us will never be able to comprehend. His main testimony now, Susie, comes out of that trial that he walked through and being able to minister to those who are in the current trial. So maybe take a listen to that. But I think the ability to associate with Christ, but then also the ability to associate with others behind you who then will go through that same trial, I think that's one of the benefits.
That's so good. You know, this is a passage I wanted to read to speak to that previous letter, but hear this, just it applies to us all. In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. Self-control with patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. So there are measures of productivity and usefulness in the kingdom based on how we're responding to Christ transforming us from the inside out. And it says, but those who fail to develop this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. You're made for better things. And then thinking about the training, Psalm 144 and other places too. Praise the Lord, who's my rock. He trains my hands for war, gives my fingers skill for battle. He's my loving ally, my fortress, my tower of safety, and my rescuer. So on one hand, he defends us and delivers us. And on the other hand, he trains us so that we can stand in battle. Okay, the next T is stay teachable and thankful. And I think it's, and tender. Those are my three T's: tender, teachable, thankful. So just where there's enough tenderness in our spirit that we can be confronted, we can be corrected, but that we keep a thankful heart. And I just feel like that is you all the way, Than. But what have you learned about not getting hardened by your surroundings, but staying tender to the things of God?
Well, I haven't pulled that off at all times. I'll be honest with you, Susie. But, you know, I hear that first T, I hear teachable, and I think you could probably interchange that with humility. You know, humility is increasingly rare in our world today, and it's increasingly attractive to Susie. I mean, you know, I think about the letter in Corinthians where it says that we see dimly now, and one day we will know fully. I just hope I can walk in a reality of what that looks like. If I see dimly now, Susie, that means by very definition, some belief that I have right now, and I think I'm correct on it, I'm wrong. And I don't currently know what that thing is. And if I'm constantly trying to be more like Jesus and have a mind that is more like his and a heart that is more in tune with his, I've got to be aware that I'm wrong on something, and I have to be open to correction. So it doesn't mean that you get run over, Susie, but this goes back to your relationship point. We've got to be in relationship with believers that we trust and that we know have our best interests at heart, so that when they see what we are wrong in and they bring it to our attention, we're actually humble enough to be teachable through it. So I think, you know, teachability and humility, I think those are interchangeable.
Very good. Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll tackle the last two letters. So know what you believe. Get in the Word. Spend time in the Word. You're going to love it. They often say it starts out as a duty, but it becomes a delight. Then acclimate in the right way, where instead of maybe whining and complaining, this isn't what the nation or the world or your season that you wanted. It is where you are. So how do you activate your faith? And how do you know that you're not acclimating wrongly, you know, to Babylon, so to speak, where you're getting so used to seeing things that really break God's heart, that they don't bother you anymore, that God would keep you awakened to the times, and that you'd allow your trials to train you, because God wants to do that for you. The enemy means for evil, but God turns it for good. And then the next T is to stay teachable and tender and thankful. That is such a winsome combination for a lost world who's growing bitter and hard. As we stay tender and teachable, people are going to want to know, why are we different? And then we'll have a chance to tell them. We'll tackle the L and the E of the acronym BATTLE with Than Bennett when we return. Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. I know you're going to see me through it. If anybody can, you can do it. God, I know in the trial, in the pain, fire, in the rain, you're going to see me through it. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to my good friend Than Bennett, who joins us every month. We often get a faith perspective from the Hill, just talking about the current news and politics and how we can embrace a faith perspective and love those who think and vote differently than we, because we're Christians. We serve the King. He's our King, right? But we've been walking through the acronym BATTLE because we are in a battle. We're on a battleground. So how do we navigate? There's a right and a wrong way to engage in a battle. There's a winning way and a losing way. And we want to do it the Christ like way. So looking at the word battle, B is to know what you believe. In other words, get in the Word and let the Word change you from the inside out. A is to acclimate to your circumstances in a way that activates your faith. So you don't acclimate to the point where you're dull to what's going on, but you're not angry about the times. You're discerning of the times, and then you activate your faith. T is you allow the trials to train you. The next T is to stay tender, teachable, thankful. Now, L is to listen for God's voice and lean into His strength. And Jesus says, my sheep hear me. They know my voice. They know what I sound like. And I don't know how we would ever do it without hearing the gentle whisper of the Holy Spirit within us and gleaning from His strength. So talk about just even what that's been like for you in your walk with God, especially then as you and Brooke take a really wonderful, audacious leap of faith to step out of, you know, a steady income and a notable job to really get your roll your sleeves up and tend to those the world maybe overlooks.
You know, Susie, I think this goes back to the conversation we had at the start of the broadcast. The only way I can explain the peace that exists in venturing into the unknown is that I have, both Brooke and I have an unshakable confidence that we've heard God's voice and that He is preparing a new work for us. And Susie, The only way that that happens is if this letter in the acronym you're using happens, if you are in God's presence, if you are hearing His voice, if you are endeavoring to follow what He's saying. And, you know, we've talked about one of the things that God has put on our hearts. That's the desire to help foster children find forever homes. You know, Susie, the only reason we have confidence that that is one of the missions that God has for us is we just very clearly heard Him speak to both of us and heard it collectively. And I would distill it down to one verse. I would distill it down to Romans 8:15, which says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Mm-hmm. And Susie, we want to be a part of God's heart. We want to be a part of what He's saying. And He has said to us on that point and on a couple of others, you feel your heart is drawn to this because this is my heart. Now, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to follow me into it or aren't you? And that just gives you peace. I can't explain it any other way.
You know, it's amazing for those who haven't heard what you're going to do. You touched on it about helping foster children be adopted into families, but it's a lot more actually audacious than that. So give us the mission of what you're doing and even the timeline of when you're going to be officially done at ACLJ. And I mean, what does that look like before we get to the E? Because the E is engage for the sake of eternity, and that's exactly what you're doing. But give us a little update.
Yeah, well, first of all, I would just really honor ACLJ in this process, Susie. I've been we talked back in July that God was leading us into this transition, and they've been so gracious and so generous. I'm so grateful to be able to finish well here, and we're in the middle of that transition. I'm going to be here through the end of the year, so technically the transition will fully happen on January 1, and then we're going to step into a couple of other things. But the first one is this effort that God just said, I want you to try to inspire the church to be part of the solution for the challenge that is 120,000 foster children in America who have no prospect of return to their biological family. All rights to the biological family have been terminated. And so, Susie, when those children turn 18, if they haven't been adopted, They're literally homeless, literally, not figuratively. Mm. They're literally homeless. And so I think this is right in the heart of God. And our mission is going to be very simple. We want to be the connective tissue between the Church of Jesus Christ and then a donor community on the outside who would be willing to stand in the gap and close the funding gap for a family who would step forward and say, we'll give a forever home to a child that needs it. And Susie, I might just say this. I love the Church of Jesus Christ, and I fully believe that God is moving the Church of Jesus Christ to be the solution in this space. And I don't know how long it will take, and there's going to be a whole lot more people than just us involved, but I believe there will come a day in our lifetime where the Church of Jesus Christ will be the ones with the waiting list for a child to land in this situation. Right now, there's a waiting list of 120,000 children. That's going to turn on its head, and the church is going to be the reason that's going to happen. And so there's a couple other things on the business side that we're going to step into, but this is the first mission that he's called us to, which is to very succinctly, we're going to find and fund a family for every adoption-eligible foster child in America. God's going to do it, and we get to be a part of it.
That is amazing. Okay, so the E in the battle acronym is Engage for the Sake of Eternity. And again, I think that is one of the ways we keep a joyful hope and an expectancy, because we fix our eyes not on what we can see, but what is unseen. What we can see is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. And yet it sounds kind of contradictory. How do you fix your eyes on what you cannot see? But we do that because God's given us eyes of our heart, spiritual eyes, to see through the tangible to the intangible, the things of God. So say a word about that, especially is, you know, praying the news, hearing the news, discerning the times, to keep an eternal perspective and engage from that, letting that fuel our actions. Well, actually, I mean, you sound more alive than you ever have, Fan, but that's what happens. Right. To me, that is the product of getting the mind of Christ, doing the work of Christ, going, I'm only here because of Jesus. I'm here for a short time. I've got to be on mission. I'm not looking to the left or right. That's when things come alive. That's the stuff of miracles.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Susie, we belong to eternity, right? But we live in the here and now. And that's not an accident. That's not just a coincidence. That's the way God designed it. He designed this as a love story, and he desired relationship with every person on this planet. And the mechanism by which that connection between him and the lost happens, Susie, it's us. So we have to find the ways to make that connection happen and to convince those who are lost that a relationship that then makes them belong to eternity as well. We get to be that connective tissue. And I just think that that's so exciting. And look, for me, a small part of this starts with helping the church out of the conundrum that you've talked about, where we can either tend to be consumed by the news or completely detached to it. No, Susie, we need to be aware of the times, and we need to be equipped to engage the times. But look, I don't want to be any other place or at any other time than at this moment when I believe, I really do that. This is not a throwaway line, Susie. I believe we're on the edge of a move of God where the people who have been lost and separated from him are going to find him. And I'm just so thrilled that I get to be a bit player in it. And you know what? I wouldn't have said this 6 months ago. I'm even kind of excited that I don't know how he's going to do that. Right? I'm just here and I'm ready to take the charge.
I love it. I love it. Well, we just have a couple minutes left, but I don't want the time to pass without talking about this newsletter. You call it a meal replacement plan. Say a word if you would.
Yeah, this is just going to be a small effort to address something that we've touched on a few times during this conversation, Susie. I've worked at the intersection of faith and politics for a long time, but most of the focus has been on politics. I want to shift that now to help people of faith, help the Church of Jesus Christ engage culture well. And so I am going to launch a once a week e-newsletter that's sort of meant to help believers find that balance. We're going to briefly, and I mean briefly, cover the news that I think believers need to be aware of, but we're going to do it in a way that reflects eternity. We're going to focus on things that are true and beautiful in the meantime. And I hope it will be an opportunity for believers maybe to turn off some of the consumption that does have an agenda-driven narrative and really look at the times around them through a perspective of eternity. And then Susie asked this question, all right, now I'm aware, what's my role in impacting this? And so it's the website there, Susie, it's theequippednewsletter.com. And I'm looking to probably start it first week in January. But if you want to, if listeners want to clue in now, it's theequippednewsletter.com. And hopefully we can serve the Church of Jesus Christ in that way.
Oh, that's amazing. So we're going to put the link to the newsletter in today's podcast show notes. So once you get to the page, once the live show is over, give us a little bit of time. The live show goes to podcast on that show page. You'll find the link to theequippednewsletter.com. So as you sign up, know this, he's not starting till January, but get on the list. I think it'll be great. We can, that way we can pray the news together. Our goal, our hope is that you can engage these times different than you ever have before with joyful, winsome expectancy. God is still on his throne. His promises are still true. And man, you're living and breathing today for such a time as this because God has a purpose for you. Fan, we love you. We thank you for always framing the perspective in such a biblical way. Thanks for the time today.
Love you, Susie. Talk next time.
Love you too, bud. All right, everybody. Have a great, great day. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.